Over the weekend, the national eviction moratorium expired, despite warnings from housing advocates that it could result in millions of evictions across the country. So here is what happened. The moratorium was extended a number of times during the pandemic, but it ultimately expired after the Supreme Court left it in place through July 31st. But Justice Brett Kavanaugh, in that ruling, wrote in a concurring opinion that the reason he voted not to end the moratorium sooner, when it was challenged, was to allow additional time for the distribution of rental relief funds. Now, the Biden administration's interpretation of the court's ruling is that only Congress can act now to extend it, and he is calling on states to step in. Here is Jean Sperling, senior advisor to the President of the United States, speaking at the White House just moments ago.
Given the rising urgency of the spread of the Delta variant, the president has asked all of us, including the CDC, to do everything in our power to look for every potential legal authority we can have to prevent evictions. To date, the CDC director and her team have been unable to find legal authority.
So that's the Biden administration's read of the Supreme Court ruling. What about Speaker Nancy Pelosi? Republicans stand in the way, and the administration could act to extend it on its own, is her take. Quote, it is unfathomable that we could not act to prevent people from being evicted, end quote, she said in a statement today. Quote, action is needed, and it must come from the administration, end quote. So here we are. It's Monday afternoon. The moratorium's expired, despite efforts of Congresswoman Cori Bush, who once lived in her car, along with Ilhan Omar and Massachusetts' own Ayanna Pressley. The three congresswomen slept overnight on the steps of the U.S. Capitol on Friday night, calling for Congress to act immediately. It didn't, but they persisted on the steps, demanding action. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley joins us now. Congresswoman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So take us to the steps of the Capitol in the middle of the night. That is a very different setting from the House chamber. Was it a time of introspection and quiet, a time of protest and rally? And what were you thinking about with your colleagues in the middle of the night as you were modeling what you were worried people were going to face?
Tiziana, before I take you there, let me just say that since at least January, myself and many of my progressive colleagues have been doing everything in our power, legislatively, in our advocacy, to the White House, to Democratic leadership, to our colleagues, to prevent this disaster from happening. I serve on the Financial Services Committee. We work on housing on that committee. Pre-pandemic, there were 3.7 million eviction filings. And we know because of this pandemic-induced recession that families have been even further destabilized, and that hurt that existed for many, that vulnerability has only been exacerbated. So I think it's important to note that where we arrived Friday evening, sleeping on those steps, was a desperate action taken after many months. And in fact, the last extension, I led the letter on that with some of my progressive colleagues to the White House that did result in that extension. So what did it feel like? It was uncomfortable, but nowhere near as uncomfortable as it is to be unhoused.
So we have...
We did that by choice, but we have 6 to 7 million families, potentially 11 households or people who could be homeless in the midst of a pandemic where we have a variant raging. So we were together in solidarity and in protest, sleeping on those steps, but we did that by choice. There are millions at risk for whom they have no choice. So the American people have run out of options, but those in government and positions of power, we have not.
So this
one
is...
go ahead, Tiziana. I wanted to... I'm sorry, just one more thing I need to say this. They would not allow us to lie down. I just want to say that.
So we did you told, sleep at all?
A little, but we had for about an hour and a half. But because they told us that it is against the law to lie down and to sleep on the steps of the Capitol. And I just want to, you know, paint a picture for folks that if you are experiencing homelessness and you are wearing on you every last thing that you could carry, that you own, and you have been moving for hours and your body is weary and you want to take rest, and then even that is being criminalized, because in this country, we do criminalize poverty. We do criminalize what it means to be homeless, to be unhoused.
Congresswoman, so here's what's playing in my head as I'm listening to you, right? You are laying out a deeply concerning state of affairs. You're laying it out with passion. You've been working on it for months. Now we have this message coming from the same party in Washington that there is a rock and a hard place. So you've got people who are concerned about being evicted. They feel vulnerable now, and they're hearing procedural arguments, it feels like, between the administration and Congress about who can do what. How do you explain that to folks, and how do you break the procedural logjam?
Tiziana, we must exhaust every tool available to us. Again, the American people have run out of options, but government and those in power have not. The White House and the CDC, they should act unilaterally, because that is the quickest way with which to mitigate this hurt. And so far as Justice Kavanaugh, he's not king. And he offered an opinion that is non-binding, not a ruling. And his opinion should not prevent us from acting urgently to protect the public health. So, and if the matter gets tied up in the courts, then we should be ready for that fight. But we have to do everything we can to protect the public health, and the administration should act with urgency. The fact that they gave the announcement that they would not extend the moratorium and gave Congress maybe 36 hours to act is unacceptable. We knew this date was coming. We knew it was approaching. So we have three options on the table. And as a member of Congress, I stand ready to be a partner in that. But the first action should be the White House doing everything, because they can mitigate this hurt more quickly.
So
they can do something right now.
If I'm hearing you correctly, it is almost whether or not it would hold up in court, you would like them to take that step because of the time that it buys in the short term.
And exactly.
So then my second question to you, and this is going to sound like I'm being flip. I'm not. This is a real question. You said they only gave us 36 hours. I know you know that the outside perception of Congress is there is no amount of time where it's possible to get bipartisan agreement on legislation right now. Could Congress get something done on this through the House and Senate? Is that a possible next step should the Biden administration take the first step that you're wanting them to take?
Yes, the White House and the CDC should act unilaterally. What Kavanaugh offered was an opinion, a non-binding opinion, not a ruling. If things get tied up in the courts, then we'll be ready for that fight. But again, it would buy us time. Now, we've already appropriated the funds, Tiziana, over $40 billion. We've already appropriated the funds. But states need time to get this money out. Now, if for some reason the White House and the CDC cannot act unilaterally, then the Senate is still in session. They could act. The House could reconvene and then bring to the floor Chairwoman Waters' emergency bill to extend the eviction moratorium. So there are tools available to us. But in terms of the tool that should most immediately be leveraged and gives us our best chance at buying time for states to get these funds out that have already been appropriated through the rental assistance program and buys our families more time.
So just
it's for the White House and the CDC to act, and to act urgently.
So just in the last hour or so, we heard from the Biden administration essentially a third plea, which is states, please step in and at the state level, do what you can do to extend the moratorium while we get this worked out. Do you see potential for a sort of a federal and state partnership here where local states and governors in local states might be able to take action that sidesteps some of the federal questions and gets to some of these practical short-term outcomes that buys time for the $40 billion?
Tiziana, there should always be partnership between the state and what's happening federally. What I'm not going to do is play political hot potato with people's lives and whether or not they remain safely housed. Everyone needs to be exhausting every avenue and leveraging and exacting every tool available to us. I was on an organizing call earlier, and one of the most sobering stats that came out of that was that 80% of those that are behind in their rent live in districts which represent 100% of the case growth. So, you know, at this point, and it never was, I mean, to me, housing is a human right. So this was never a matter of charity or benevolence. But at the very least, in this moment, it's an urgent matter of the public health. We already have a homeless problem. And you're talking about potentially contributing to that millions more in the midst of a pandemic, with the Delta variant spiking? Speaker Pelosi said that it was a moral imperative that we extend the eviction moratorium. So the fact that we have not done that is a moral failing. And I can't tell the constituents that are calling my office, who are living in real fear, who are in complete limbo and don't know what the future holds for them, that the reason why I can't give them assurances is because of procedural legality outstanding questions or concerns.
So I want to pick up on another thread there for just a minute, Congresswoman. You talked about, you've emphasized that this is in the midst of the pandemic with a spread in the Delta variant. I do want to turn our attention there for a second and ask you, is there congressional action that needs to happen about the Delta variant or other things that you'd like to see the Biden administration doing? We're learning fast, and we're learning from Massachusetts the extent of the spread of the variant, the extent of its transmissibility, and even among those who are vaccinated. What are you watching, and what's your top priority there?
Right. Well, right now, you know, my top priority is getting the eviction moratorium extended, and I do think it was egregious that Governor Baker allowed that to expire in October, and that's why I've been fighting on the federal level to extend those protections. But you know, Congress did appropriate emergency rental assistance, $40 billion plus. Those funds have been appropriated, and we need to get that money out as soon as possible. That is in the interest of, again, with the Delta variant spiking, how can we possibly talk about having people unhoused? It is a threat to their safety. It is a threat to the public health. And that is exactly why the CDC should be intervening and must act on this.
So do you have access to Dr. Walensky? Is this a conversation that you have or can have with her directly?
Well, I've not spoken with her directly. Perhaps my office has. I know we have been in ongoing and regular communication with the White House and, of course, Democratic leadership. And again, my progressive colleagues. Just I'm looking for any avenue here to be exhausted and to continue to apply pressure and to make sure, Tiziana, that people, you know, when I was a freshman in the 116th Congress during orientation, the best advice I received there was, in the process of legislating and governing, it is easy to forget the plot. And the plot is the people. And so, you know, what I'm here to do and why we camped on those steps is to center the people. These are not numbers that we're moving around on paper. This is a threat to people, to humanity, to the public health. And it's unconscionable that we allowed this to happen because the thing is, Tiziana, eviction is violent and it is a policy choice. And to be evicted pre-pandemic is inhumane, but to be evicted in the midst of a pandemic is unconscionable. And the thing that makes me sick is that it was 100% avoidable.
That is Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, who represents the Massachusetts 7th District. Congresswoman, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Vaccines are the answer on the variant, by the way.
Thank you.
Get vaccinated.